And we have a great program in store for us today. We have all youth speakers. We didn't necessarily want to have mothers speak on Mother's Day, and if we called fathers, then what do we do on Father's Day? So we went with an all-youth speaker program today. So our first speaker will be Quincy Crabb, and then she'll be followed by a special musical number that'll be performed by the primary kids. And so once Quincy's finished, we invite the primary kids to come up for their musical number. Following the primary musical, our second speaker will be Sam Shaw, and then our final speaker will be Kelton Wagley.
Okay, I think it's low enough for me. Like my dad said, I'm Quincy Crabb, and today I'm asked to speak about eternal families. I'm grateful to speak and always grateful to have the opportunity to study up on a topic and hope to speak with the Spirit today and so that each of you can learn by the Spirit. If I'm being completely honest, eternity's always seemed a little bit daunting to me. It's really hard for me to fathom the concept of endless time and living in a place where limitation ceases. Today I want to essentially focus on how we can make our time on earth translate to a desirable eternity with our loved ones. I believe there are countless contributable factors to making an earthly family life successful, but I only have 7 or 8 minutes, so I'll do my best to keep it to about 3 of those attributes. First and foremost is to choose to love your family. Each of us has the privilege of communicating with a loving Father in heaven, where we can pray to view our siblings and parents as children of God and recognize their divine characteristics, as opposed to maybe only focusing on what annoys us most. Teenagers, it's okay to sacrifice a Saturday night to spend time with your family every once in a while. When I was younger and my older siblings would want to hang out with friends, they frequently appeared envious of what they had missed out on at home. If they were angry when the rest of us willingly went to Texas Roadhouse without them, all my mom would say is, "When you leave the family," and oftentimes they would make a different choice the following weekend. Quality time with family will frankly never be time wasted. If you're reluctant to spend more time than necessary with your family, change your attitude. Choose to love your family. Choose to value your time on earth, as it will translate into the great blessings of having an eternal family. Secondly, we must understand our roles as contributors to the family unit. This will certainly vary between situations, but all of us can find a way to do so by helping out in the way we are most capable. I often feel I lack contribution to my family since I'm extremely busy and often out of the house for the vast majority of the day. My parents do so much, and I often feel that I don't match up to the efforts and sacrifices they make for me, but I know that praying to know how to best contribute and doing so to the absolute best of my abilities will never go unrecognized by God. Without exception, my mom sees me before I leave every morning, even if I'm leaving for an early morning practice at 5:50. Though a seemingly simple action, her subtle gestures sets me on the right foot for the rest of the day and further puts our family in a better situation when I know that she didn't have to get up and she could have slept in, but she chose to serve me anyways. My dad exemplifies hard work in everything he does and is such an example to me in that way. He would do anything for our family and never hesitates to show us that. When unconsciously assessing our family members' contributions, we need to be careful that we're not concluding that they lack contribution, since many people are gonna show their love in different ways and actions. For example, my dad and I kind of can't stand affection. so we're just not really the huggy type of people. After a big dance performance, I might get some knuckles or a weird awkward side hug if it's a really good day. But for the most part, I don't think I've given my dad a legitimate hug since my baptism, and that's perfectly acceptable. We're just not huggy people. despite the lack of affection, my dad always serves me in ways of great action. I'm never surprised to walk in the door and see pizza and crumble cookies ready for me to devour, or for him to treat me to a nice dinner after some yard work. My mom, on the other hand, refuses to let me leave the house or go to bed without a hug. Although I'm reluctant to oblige, I know I'm extremely blessed to have such a selfless and kind mom. She will always put another before herself, and that is something I admire greatly about her. I want to interject real quick and talk about the role of the mother in the family, given today's significance. I saw a video recently where someone created a fake job and posted it online, and several people signed up to be interviewed, and the interviewer gave a brief description to everyone he was interviewing, entailing of a criteria that they must work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, with a workload increasing near the holidays. They would have to be on their feet for the majority of the work, often stay up throughout the night, hopefully have degrees in finance, culinary arts, and medicine, refrain from taking any breaks, only eat when their associate is finished eating, and accept no payment in return other than an increased relationship and love for their associate. Those being interviewed sat with jaws dropped, saying that this was inhumane, unethical, or impossible. The interviewer then explained that this was an interview to be a mom. Each interviewee laughed, smiled, and began to realize the great task motherhood is. Take the time today to say thank you to your mom and mother figures. They really are so amazing and important. Kind of mixed up. Moving on to the third piece in developing family life on earth, we need to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into our homes. Tad R. Callister gave his general conference address entitled Parents, the Prime Gospel Teachers of Their Children. In his address, he states, as parents, we are to be the prime gospel teachers and examples for our children, not the bishop, not the Sunday school, the young women or young men, but the parents. As the prime gospel teachers, we can teach them the power and reality of the atonement, of their identity and divine destiny, and in so doing, give them a rock foundation upon which to build. When all is said and done, the home is an ideal forum for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Close quote. Humans by nature are great observational learners, and children will certainly conform to the actions portrayed by their parents and siblings. I know I'm only 17 and probably really inadequate to tell all of you adults what to do, but please be mindful of how you're portraying yourself in the home. Embrace every opportunity to teach your children and guide them to joy and success. With home-centered, church-supported doctrine, Come Follow Me captivates the essence of a cohesive family unit strengthened daily by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The focus parents draw towards the gospel has the potential to resonate in the hearts of their children long past their childhood. Parents should everlastingly promote a love for the gospel, a love for the Savior, and a love for all of God's children. I testify that personal revelation will allow us to make the necessary choices and decisions to prevail as eternal families. We can do so by the simple messages of choosing to love, understanding how we personally contribute to the family, and inviting the Spirit into our home through the teachings of the gospel. I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, my name is Sam Shaw. I'm a junior at Tippinogos High School, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm Larry and Susan Shaw's son. And today, I would like to speak about the infinite potential of eternal life and eternal families. Family is a really important part of my life, as it probably is for many of you, and I'm the youngest of eight children, and each of my older siblings has taught me a very important life lessons and gospel principles and just countless memories with my siblings. My mom and dad are amazing parents. My dad's always at every one of my track meets and my cross-country races. They're cheering me on, and he can see that potential that might be hard for me to see after I have a bad race or I'm struggling with an injury. And my mom is one of the most loving, kind, hardworking people I know. She's always the one to stay up late with me when I'm working on a school project or having trouble writing an essay. And every time I get home from a school dance, she's up half asleep watching Fixer Upper on the couch. And I just love her so much and just love the example she sets for me and for my siblings and for my nieces and nephews. About 9 years before I was born, my parents had a daughter, Macy, who passed away in NICU after 10 days after her birth. And while I never got to meet her and I never was able to see her on this earth, I know that she's in our lives every day, and I can see her light as I live through my life and as I go to school and as I just live life. And I know that because of Eternal Families, I'll get to see her one day and get to meet her and get to have a close relationship with her and just spend time with her. And I come from a long line of missionaries and great men who served missions. My great-great-great-grandpa Elijah Shaw was going to California for the California Gold Rush, and he was getting supplies halfway through when he met Orson Hyde, who converted him to the church and was the one who convinced him to move to Utah. And that's really where, you know, on the Shaw side of my family, the church begins. And then his son Samuel Shaw, and then his son Samuel Albert Shaw, which is my namesake, they're both great men who served missions and had families and were righteous in the church. And I'm proud to come from that. And then my grandpa on my dad's side, Dale Shaw, who works in the temple and is a great example for me. And he lives in Arizona, and whenever I get to see him, it's just wonderful to learn from his life experiences and to get to know him better. And I love being able to have such a close relationship with my dad's side of the family and even my mom's side of the family. My grandpa on my mom's side is Oscar Darwin Olson. So between Dale Shaw and Darwin Olson, my two grandpas, my middle name is the letter D for both my grandpas. And Oscar Darwin, he died before I was born, but just with Macy, I can see his light and see his influence in my life, and just that leading and guiding influence as I go through my life. Eternal Families are, you know, we always talk about the eternal perspective, and family is really the center of that. Christ was able to see that eternal perspective as he was able to bless people and inspire people with his light and with that eternal perspective. And I can see his light through my family, and with it being Mother's Day, I can't express how grateful I am for my mother. And I know that it can be hard raising all of us and trying to get all of us to follow the gospel and to raise us all, but I think she's done a great job, and she's always there to help us. And if she's not running errands or cleaning the house, she's on the phone with one of my older siblings, and she'll talk with them, and she'll help them with whatever they may need. And I know that without my family and without my older siblings and without the small daily little fights I might have with my older sister Annie, or the little gospel teaching moments my dad manages to fit in every time we go to Costco, I don't know if I could, you know, make it without their support and their love. And I love just coming from such a rich spiritual family. In Elder Tad Harcallister's October 2014 General Conference talk, he spoke, "As parents, we are the prime gospel teachers and examples for our children." And while I'm just 17 and I'm still in high school, I can recognize that influence my parents have on me and their strong tie to the gospel, and they recognize the importance of teaching the gospel in our home and making our home Christ-centered. And I just love my family so much, and I have a strong testimony that because of my family and because of the important truths that they've taught me, I want to have a family of my own someday and serve a mission and have those covenants in the temple. And I like to say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, I'm Kelton Wagley. I'm also 17. I'm also a junior. My family's been in the ward for about 6 years this upcoming October. I don't know how much I need to introduce myself because I'm obviously not the focus today. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. As Quincy and Sam have already pointed out, this Mother's Day we're talking about eternal families. Obviously, I'm not terribly qualified to talk about this topic, so I'll try to keep things simple and short, mostly for my own sake, so I'm not embarrassing myself in front of my mom. Anyway, to begin, we know that the family is the basic unit of society, as stated in the Family Proclamation. Mothers and fathers share responsibility over that unit as both protectors and providers. Typically, the father provides and the mother protects and nurtures. While this is not always the case, I think it's pretty safe to say that moms are with the kids more than the dads, and that is no easy feat. I know that babysitting for a couple hours is both physically and mentally taxing, so I have no idea what mothers go through caring for young children 24/7, and they deserve all the blessings for it. I'll go ahead and read a bit from Elder Holland's talk, Because She is a Mother, from April 1997. In speaking of mothers generally, I especially wish to praise and encourage young mothers. The work of a mother is hard, too often unheralded work. The young years are often those when either husband or wife, or both, may still be in school, or in those earliest and leanest stages of developing the husband's breadwinning capacities. Finances fluctuate daily between low and non-existent. The apartment is usually decorated in one of two smart designs, Deseret Industries Provincial or Early Mother Hubbard. The car, if there is one, runs on smooth tires and an empty tank, but with night feedings and night teethings, often the greatest challenge of all for a young mother is simply fatigue. Through these years, mothers go longer on less sleep and give more to others with less personal renewal for themselves than any other group. I know at any other time in life, it is not surprising when the shadows under their eyes sometimes vaguely resemble the state of Rhode Island. I love Elder Holland, he's really funny. I feel like the temporal responsibilities of a mother is something that often goes taken for granted. I wish that I could have had that kind of foresight when I was, you know, like five, to really say like, thanks for coming and getting me from school, Mom, when I ripped my pants on the playground and cried for a couple hours. Really, I really appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to come pick me up. I didn't really have that kind of foresight. I still don't, but I think I'm getting there. I feel like I can really appreciate the things that my mom does for me in a physical capacity. But a mom's job isn't just to make sure that the kids don't light the house on fire, is it? No, a mom's job is also to teach her kids the gospel. The war that Satan has waged against the family is real, and moms are on the front lines, so to speak. And I'm going to read another quick story from Tad R. Callister's October 2014 talk, Parents, the Prime Gospel Teachers of Their Children. I think Quincy mentioned this one. About a year ago, I was on assignment in Beirut, Lebanon. While there, I learned about a 12-year-old girl, Sarah. Her parents and two older siblings had converted to the church in Romania, but were then required to return to their homeland when Sarah was just 7 years of age. In their homeland, there was no church presence, no organized units, no Sunday school or young women program. After 5 years, this family learned of a branch in Beirut, and just before I arrived, sent their 12-year-old daughter, Sarah, accompanied by older siblings, to be baptized. While there, I gave a devotional on the plan of salvation. With some frequency, Sarah raised her hand and answered the questions. After the meeting, and knowing of her almost non-existent church exposure, I approached her and asked, Sarah, how did you know the answers to those questions? She immediately replied, my mother taught me. They did not have the church in their community, but they did have the gospel in their home. Her mother was her prime gospel teacher. Over the years, I've become increasingly thankful for my mom and all that she has done to create a spiritual environment at home where she can teach us the gospel. It's not always easy for the family to get together and do family scripture study or come follow me, but when we do, my mom is always there by my dad's side, ready to ask questions that incite discussion and inevitably questions from me and my siblings, who are not always so eager to speak. She regularly enables us to both build strong foundational doctrinal knowledge, but also dig deep into some of the more esoteric pillars of doctrine. I think that she knows what's going through our heads better than we do sometimes. Elder Cook's talk from the most recent General Conference has a paragraph in which he states, my mother's favorite hymn was Love at Home. Whenever she heard the first phrase, "There is beauty all around when there's love at home," she became visibly touched and teary. As children, we were aware that we lived in that kind of home. It was one of her highest priorities. I think that hymn could be one of my mom's favorites as well, but she's usually not on the verge of tears when singing it. Rather, she's usually on the verge of yelling at us. But us kids know we better shape up once we hear her singing that song, because she don't stop singing until we get our act together. But there's an important principle there, I promise. The nature of what mothers do is very much at home, like the song says. To add onto the list of the celestial responsibilities of a mom, she must also set her house in order. I'm grateful for all the times my mom has sweetly chastised us, even when it may not seem sweet at the time. Because of her, I feel that I value my relationships with my family 100-fold, because she has taught me how to love my siblings, even when it isn't easy to do so. She taught me how to sacrifice things for others, because she does it daily. She taught me most everything I know, and for that I am grateful. All of these principles taught at home and sacrifices made are a key part of Heavenly Father's plan for us. Without the foundations of the gospel made at home by mothers, we wouldn't be able to live together eternally in families and be sealed together. I'm grateful that my mom for all eternity will be my mom. And I want to close with another bit from Elder Holland. "Yours is the grand tradition of Eve, the mother of all the human family, the one who understood that she and Adam had to fall in order that men and women might be, and that there would be joy. Yours is the grand tradition of Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel, without whom there could not have been those magnificent patriarchal promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which bless us all. Yours is the grand tradition of Lois and Eunice and the mothers of the 2,000 stripling warriors. Yours is the grand tradition of Mary, chosen and foreordained from before this world was to conceive, carry, and bear the Son of God himself. We thank all of you, including our own mothers, and tell you there is nothing more important in this world than participating so directly in the work and glory of God, in bringing to pass the mortality and earthly life of his daughters and sons, so that immortality and eternal life can come in those celestial realms on high. I bear testimony that the role of a mother is sacred and is a sacred and holy responsibility, and I know that mothers are essential to the plan of salvation and eternal families, so that we all may be together forever one day. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."
Right, we'd like to thank Quincy and Sam and Kelton for their preparation for the message they've given us and the spirits we felt here today. I asked Kelton if he was good to take about 20 minutes, and he said we might be in early today. So we're going to have the bishop maybe give us a few remarks, and if the bishop comes up a little short, maybe President Anderson some remarks. So with that, once they're finished, we'll have our closing song, number 301, "I Am a Child of God," and then our benediction will be given by Graham Shaw. We'd also like to recognize all the women today. We have a small gift of our appreciation and to recognize them. So like all the women over 18, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, women, just for what they've done for us. And so after the speakers are finished, if we could get Brother Lisenby and Brother Thomas to go to each door and take the gifts there, and then maybe recruit some of the young women to help pass them out. We'd like to get that done, maybe not take too much time so we can get to our classes on time. With that, I'll turn it over to the bishop.
I wish I could say that I was a senior, a 17-year-old still, but not quite. I was kind of pondering some of the thoughts that our great speakers presented today. I was thinking about eternal families and the fact that we're all part of a larger family, and we were with our heavenly parents, and this was an opportunity that we wanted to come to this earth, to have a body, to be able to learn and grow, and to be part of families here, and to prepare ourselves to be able to be part of eternal families. And how important that is for us to continue to remember as we play different roles within families, either as parents, as siblings, as you know, sons and daughters, and how important that is, that bond that we have with one another and with our heavenly parents. And I always I keep thinking about in this day of it, this time where, you know, we're bombarded with so many things and the challenges. I just got back from New York this last week, and it's a great city, but it's chaotic and so many things going on. But when you come home, the peace that you have with your family and the comfort that you have, I can imagine that's what it's going to be like when we progress to the next part of our eternal plan here. The peace that we'll find as being part of the eternal family, and as we continue to progress together collectively. I think it's a great blessing that we have this knowledge, that we have scriptures that help us. Again, I'm in so much enjoying our curriculum this year, and again, being able to think about Christ and his words, and to be able to see his example. I was talking to a colleague about, you know, the Old Testament is great, but the New Testament, the Book of Mormon, but especially in the New Testament, we get to see our Savior as here and as an example for us in all that he was doing and all the challenges he had. But he was able to help us understand, again, why we're here and what we're trying to do and our progression and our relationship with one another. And so as I think of this day, I am grateful for my mother and what she has done for me. She represents true unconditional love. I remember no matter what I did in my life, I always knew I could call both my parents, but especially my mom, and complete unconditional love. And I know that's how our heavenly parents are, unconditional love. They, if you were reading some of the parables this week and of the prodigal son, I mean, the unconditional love, that the fact that they're there and they're there to help and love and support us in no matter what we end up doing. I appreciate my wife and what she has done as a mother, and we're getting to see the fruits of that, especially as we see our kids grow up and now become parents. It's some of the teachings that you think they never understood or even heard, you start to see them put in place with their families, which is really neat. And I have to give my wife complete credit for all that. She was the one that was super diligent. I was the one that was always working, traveling, and she was the one that actually was providing that stable kind of support and direction. And it does matter, and we're seeing the blessings of that. Again, I am grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am grateful for a living prophet that is helping us continue our progression. It's exciting to see all the new announcements that continue to come out. They're all wonderful and they're helping. I'm having opportunity to read the biography that just came out. Amazing individual our prophet is, and what he's done in saving souls, literally, as well as saving people's lives. And I'm grateful for his sacrifice and all that he does. And I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just take a brief minute. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers today. Great messages we've heard. Few speakers, I wish I could touch on each one of them, but just take a lead off of what Kelton kind of ended with. He talked about a great tradition as he quoted from Elder Holland, of Eve and Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and that concluded with Mary, the mother of Jesus. President Evans has often said that Jesus Christ is the greatest champion of women. And that's true. As you look at his life and how he treated the women in his life, a great example for each one of us men to try to look to and emulate. And of course, Mary was the first to see the Savior in his perfected, resurrected state. I don't think that was by coincidence that that occurred. But it reminded me of the hymn that Eliza R. Snow wrote, you're all familiar with, and may I quote just as I conclude a couple of lines. O my Father, thou that dwellest in the high and glorious place, when shall I regain thy presence and again behold thy face? In thy holy habitation did my spirit once reside. In my first primeval childhood was I nurtured near thy side. For a wise and glorious purpose thou hast placed me here on earth and withheld the recollection of my former friends and birth. Yet oft times a secret something whispered, you're a stranger here. And I felt that I had wandered from a more exalted sphere. I had learned to call thee, Father, through thy spirit from on high, but until the key of knowledge was restored, I knew not why. In the heavens are parents single? No. The thought makes reason stare. Truth is reason, truth eternal, tells me I have a mother there. When I leave this frail existence, when I lay this mortal by, Father, Mother, may I meet you in your royal courts on high. We don't often talk about our Heavenly Mother, but as Kelton quoted this tradition and legacy of great women, I couldn't help but reflect on our Eternal Mother. And I have a feeling that she was very involved in our lives, and that the veil of forgetfulness just is there, keeping us from that knowledge. It's a common thread, as each three of these spoke, that the close affinity that they feel with their mothers here. And that's because of the nurturing. The proclamation states that the primary role of mothers is to nurture, to love, to care, to be there for, to be that shoulder to cry on, to be that listening ear. And if my guess is not incorrect, I have a feeling that there was a lot of nurturing that took place in our heavenly home. And that when those memories return, each and every one of us will have great fond feelings of affection for our Heavenly Mother. And this day I honor all women, but I particularly feel a desire to honor her and recognize her for the essential role that she plays in each one of our lives, and express that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, we are indeed grateful for the many blessings that we receive. Thankful especially for this day in which we are able to renew our covenants with Thee. Thankful especially for this day for the mothers that have so greatly influenced our lives. Wilt Thou bless them this day? Help them to know of our love for their nurturing of each of us. Wilt Thou be with each of us throughout this week that we may be blessed with good health and strength to return again this coming Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.